You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's March 21st, 2024, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning, I bring you the latest video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in just 15 minutes. To ensure that you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And it would be wonderful if you left a review while you're there to help spread the word about the show. Also, look for Midlife Side Quest on Threads if you'd like to chat and hang out, talk about today's show or whatever's going on. I am happy that you have tuned in today because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. But first, I'm sending out this week's positive vibes to Jam Pack Sam. You can find Jam Pack Sam on YouTube, where he's creating videos about the latest gaming and tech industry news, all in a fun little bite-sized format, which, if you know me, is how I like it. His videos are lots of fun to watch, and they're very well produced. Don't tell anybody, but one of my pet peeves are content creators who, you know, have these grandiose visions of striking it big, but they don't put any effort into production or editing. Well, Sam clearly cares, and he does put the effort in because the videos are very high quality. So go check him out on YouTube and give him a sub. So I had fairly mixed feelings about 2020's Final Fantasy VII Remake. I thought from a presentation standpoint, it was pretty outstanding. You could tell that a lot of love and money in particular went into that game. And while I did have a good amount of fun with it, the whole concept of stretching the story across three separate games over hundreds of hours and likely taking 6 to 8 years to complete, it didn't feel justified. The newly created filler wasn't that interesting, and the game seemed to drag on unnecessarily, especially towards the end. God, don't get me started on the end of that game. Anyway, I was left with a pretty sour taste in my mouth when I finished that game. And to be honest, I didn't even know if I wanted to continue when the next game came out. So fast forward 4 years, and the second chapter in this new trilogy is here with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And again, I wasn't really planning on checking it out. Early impressions stated that this game was even longer and filled with more filler, so I thought, you know, I'm good. But a couple of things happened. First, the reviews were outstanding. They were pretty knockout. Second, more importantly, my wife heard that this game was out and said that she really liked watching me play the last one. Am I gonna get this new one? Yeah, peer pressure. And third, I found myself in a little bit of a gaming lull with not too much going on to play other than a few smaller games that weren't taking up a lot of time. So I caved. I downloaded it, all 145 gigabytes of it. And you know what? So far, at least, I'm having a really, really damn good time. First of all, like the last game, from a presentation standpoint, they have hit a home run. It is visually stunning. The characters look great. And despite some, you know, slightly wonky animations while you're moving about the world, it all looks fantastic in motion. From the incredibly detailed streets of Calm to the beaches of Costa del Sol, the world is bright and vibrant and packed with character and details. And the music, oh my God, the music. The familiar Final Fantasy themes that we all know so well have never sounded better. And it's crazy to me how they were able to trigger the nostalgia in me. I mean, I haven't played the original since the 90s, and I didn't remember much beyond like the big major story beats. But when the music picks up, it just sent me right back to 1997. It's wild how music can do that to you. The look and the sound of this game, nearly perfect. Maybe most surprising, though, is how much more fun I am having with this game to play. While this game is, you know, part two of a three-part trilogy, Rebirth feels very different in a lot of ways when compared to the last game. And in most ways, it's better. The most obvious change is that this is very much an open-world game. I mean, Remake, for the most part, felt like you were being, you know, pushed in one direction from point A to point B. And yes, there was room to wander and more open areas and lots of side quests to get involved in, but you couldn't really, you know, veer too far off the beaten path. This time, though, it is structured very differently, and, you know, it shares a lot in common with an open world you might find in, like, a Ubisoft game. You've got big open world maps with towers to find that reveal icons and objectives all over the map, and lots of optional quests to complete. So far I've discovered three of these big regions. I don't know how many there are in the game, but they all have a very distinct personality, and I'm having a blast just finding everything there is to do in it. I think compared to the first game, the open world nature makes all of the side stuff just more palatable. It fits better, and I actually want to do these things, whereas in Remake, it felt like a chore, and I avoided almost all of it. Getting around the open world is a little bit of a mixed bag. While you can move around pretty quick riding your chocobo, and that's a lot of fun, there's something about the terrain that just feels clunky. I'm constantly getting stuck on little ledges or rocks and tripping on stuff that I can't progress, and it just breaks up the flow. And the climbing and the jumping when you're trying to get up and down on platforms, it just feels not quite right. I wasn't super keen on the combat either for the first few hours that I was playing, but it's starting to warm on me a little bit. It's kind of an awkward blend of real-time and turn-based combat, where you're running around and hacking and slashing and attacking in real-time, but whenever you want to use an item, cast a spell, or activate a limit break or a summon, you need to stop the action and go into a menu and select what you want to do. I mean, it's not bad, but I just kind of wish that they would choose one lane or the other instead of straddling them both. The combat is pretty satisfying though, and I like that most of the characters have a different enough feel and move set that I'll bounce back and forth between them depending on the situation. Barret and Yuffie are probably my favorites in battle so far. And then there's Queen's Blood. And as someone who got into Triple Triad pretty seriously, this in-game collectible card game is pretty darn great. Now, I'm not going to sit here and break down all the rules and the gameplay and the strategy of it. You can look that up online. But the matches are quick, they're fun, and later on they require a pretty good amount of strategy if you want to beat the tougher decks. I'm pretty sure that I'll be scouring the map trying to buy every booster pack and find every opponent to play so that I can collect all of the cards. It's a great diversion if you want to just take a break from the main story for a while. I've put in about 25 hours or so, so my guess is I'm probably like maybe halfway through the story. And so far, Rebirth is clicking with me way more than Remake ever did. The main plot has been really good so far. Hasn't yet gone off the rails the way that the last game did. Although there's plenty of time for it to do that, so who knows. And I'm falling in love all over again with these characters and this world. I think getting out of Midgar in this second chapter has just opened up the game to more fun. There's a sense of joy and silliness, really, that permeates throughout this whole thing that just makes it, like, more fun, like I said. For a game that I was, you know, ready to pass on and not even play this year, I am super glad that I gave it a shot because it's definitely one of the best games that I've played this year. A report from Bloomberg came out that stated that Sony was pausing production on the PSVR 2 headsets due to a stockpiling inventory and reports that the system had a pretty disappointing holiday sales season, selling only a fraction of what the Quest 3 sold in that same period. I think this just, you know, it verifies what I and a lot of people thought when this thing launched, that Sony just didn't have a compelling plan or really any idea of what VR consumers actually want. I think what VR users are looking for is, you know, primarily ease of use and great games, and they got neither with the PSVR 2. It required you to own a PlayStation 5, it had to be physically tethered to the console, plus it was more expensive than the Quest 3. Add to that the fact that there just aren't very many, you know, interesting exclusives, and it's easy to see why people flocked to the Quest instead. And with the recent closures of Sony's VR dedicated studios, I think it's pretty clear that the PSVR 2 is just gonna slowly putter out and die. And that's a shame. I had the first one. I really liked it. I think with the right support and better hardware, there could have been a place for a successful PlayStation headset. But as it is, if you're looking to get into the VR market, you're probably better off with a Quest. So last week's question for polling at Threads was, what was the best PlayStation generation? And in a little bit of a surprise, the PS2 kind of ran away with it, with 64% of the vote. I love the PS2, but I didn't think it would win the popular vote. The PS4 came in kind of a distant second with 15%. The original PS1 gathered 13% of the vote, and the PS3 only managed a measly 7%. What a shock. I mean, despite that being the generation that brought us Uncharted and The Last of Us and Little Big Planet. So this week's question is, what is the best card game of 2024? Is it Queen's Blood from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, or is it Balatro? That's a tough one. Go visit Midlife Side Quest on Threads after the show to cast your vote, and I'll share the results on next week's episode. And don't forget, go and check out the fundraiser for One Heartland. It was a great first week. We've raised $250 at the time of this recording. I think we can double that in the last week. And then on next week's episode, I'm going to choose a winner for that Turtle Beach Stealth Ultra controller and Stealth Pro headset. So donate by next Wednesday evening if you want to get in on that drawing, because I record on Wednesdays for the Thursday show. So click the link in the show notes here, or just go to GoFundMe.com and search for Midlife Side Quest. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day for me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. So until next week, be well and happy gaming.